ఆచార్యేంద్రం కరకళితచిన్ముద్రమానందమూర్తి స్వాత్మారామం మూడితవదనం దక్షిణామూర్తిమీదే విశ్వం దర్పణ దృశ్యమాన నగరీ తుల్యం నిజాంతర్గతం పశ్యన్నాత్మని మాయయా బహిర్భూత భూతాన్యథాని త్రయా యస్ సాక్షాత్ కురుతే ప్రబోధ సమయే స్వాత్మానమేవాద్వయం తస్మై శ్రీ గురు మూర్తయే నమః శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే ీజస్యాంతరివాంకురు జగదిదం ప్రాం నిర్వికల్పం పునః మాయాకల్పితదేశకాలకలనా వైచిత్ర్యచిత్రీకృతం మాయావీవ విజృంభయత్యపి మహా యోగీవయస్వేచ్ఛయా తస్మై శ్రీగురుమూర్తయే నమః ఇదం శ్రీదక్షిణామూర్తయే యస్యైవ స్ఫురణం సదాత్మకమసత్కల్పార్థకం భాసతే సాక్షాతత్వమసీతి వేదవచసా యో బోధయత్యాశ్రుతాన్ యత్ సాక్షాత్ కరణాత్ భవేన్న పునరా ఆవృతిర్భవాంభోనిధౌ తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమః ఇదం శ్రీదక్షిణామూర్తయే నానాచిత్రఘటోదరస్థితమహా దీపప్రభాభాస్వరం జ్ఞానం యస్య తు చక్షురాధికరణద్వారా బహిస్పందతే జానామీతి తమేవ భాంతమనుభాత్యేతత్ సమస్తం జగత్ జానామీతి తమేవ భాంతమనుభాత్యేతత్ సమస్తం జగత్ తస్మై శ్రీ గురుమూర్తయే నమః ఇదం శ్రీ దక్షిణామూర్తయే.
Do the Sandhi for verse 4. Nana Chidra Gata Udara Stita Maha Deepa Prabha Baswaram Jnanam Yasya Tu Chakshur Chakshuhu So Chakshur Adi Karanat Karana Dwara Bahihi Spandate Janami Iti tam eva bhantam anubhati etat samastam jagat. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye nama idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Nana means, is the sense of many and varied, nana. Chidra means holes, many holes, many and varied holes, nana chidra. Gata means pot, a pot. Udara means the belly of the pot, inside of the pot, so the belly of the pot. So nana chidra gata udara stita, placed, situated in. Placed in the belly of a pot which has many holes, many and varied holes. Nana, chidra, gata, udara, stita, mahadipa, a great lamp. Dipa is a lamp. Mahadipa, a great lamp. Maha means great. Prabha, baswaram. Prabha means a light. Baswara means shining brightly, like a light shining brightly. Of a great lamp that's placed, stitta, that's placed there in the belly of a pot which has many holes in it. Okay? It's a nice compound, it's all one word. Nana, chidra, gatodara, stitta, maha, deepa, prabha, baswaram. Okay? Jnanam, knowledge, conscious being, consciousness, knowledge. Yasya, whose, for whom, whose knowledge, to. To means like whereas, or I'll translate to in the context of a sentence. Chakshu, chakshuradi. Chakshu means your eyes. If I say, in Sanskrit, if I say a word that belongs to a group and say adi, adi means beginning with. So chakshuradi, beginning with the eyes. That means it's not beginning with the eyes and the and the wall and the flowers. It's beginning, the eyes are the first member of the group, so it would be your all five sense organs. Beginning with your eyes, so we'd say your ears, your sense of touch, your eyes, your sense of taste, your sense of smell, these five sense organs. Beginning with the eyes, chakshuradi, karana. Karana are the instruments, the jnanendriyas, the sense organs. So the instruments means the sense organs, jnanendriyas, indriya means an organ. Jnana means the organs of knowledge. So here the karanas are the jnanendriyas, the organs of knowledge, beginning with the eyes. Okay? Dwara. Through means through the door, like through. Through the sense organs, beginning with the eyes. Chakshuradi karana dwara. Bahihi. Bahihi means outside. Spandite. It flows outside. It goes, spandite. It goes outside. So so just imagine. I'll go to the whole thing first. Then, janami. Janami means I know. So as the jiva, the consciousness belongs to me. I take myself to be a knower with the ahankara, is that I know. My ahankara, even though... As I've said before, there really is no knower per se, but my experience, when the ahankara is going to identify with me, it's going to identify with the consciousness, not with the object. So I will always have a relationship with what is objectified, where I become the conscious being and the object becomes known, right? Anything that I'm aware of, by its very nature, because it's mitya, it enjoys consciousness. It enjoys being known. So I am the being known, which this object, objectified object, enjoys. So I will say, I am, in language, I am the knower of this object, when really I am the knownness which the object is enjoying. It's a subtle difference, but we need to be able to kind of look at our own language and then see what's actually happening inside. Okay, so here, janami as I know, for, you know, first person singular from nya to na, janami iti, I know, tam eva, that alone, tameva bantam, that which itself is bantam, is shining. Bantam is the swetha siddha. It's shining. It's not anubhati. It's not shining after something. It itself is shining. So it is shining as what? As I know, right? As knowledge, as consciousness. So janami iti tameva bantam, that alone which is shining as what? Janami iti, as I know, that samastam jagat, etat samastam jagat, this is the nominative, etat samastam, this samastam entire, this entire universe, this entire jagat, this entire world. So jagat means world. So etat samastam jagat, this entire world, anubhati, it shines after that which is self-shining. And how is that which is the accusative? It shines after tam bantam, that which is itself shining. So this whole world shines after me. As we were talked about this earlier, right? So we have to get this anu straight. This whole world shines after me, and it shines after that which is bantam, which itself is shining. And in what form is it shining? It is forming, it is shining as I know. As I know, jhana, as the very nature of the subject. So here it says, tasmai, to salutations to my teacher, who is tam bantam, who is that one who is shining as the very self, which is the knower, in reference to my experience here, right? He is shining as that one which everything else shines after. So say we have to teach you, who are you? You know, the first thing we have to start with in this experience that I'm having, just as me in this world, I am the conscious being who is the subject. I am the subject. Everything else is the object. For me as a person, I'm going to be the subject, and then what I'm aware of is the object. So I can divide my whole experience into just these two factions, subject and object, to start with. Right? You understand? So as the subject, I am the conscious being. It means if I divide the world into subject and object, I, the subject, how do I know that there's a subject and an object? Because I know, I objectify what is the object. That's my experience. I see you, right? So I become the seer, the knower, through my ears or through my eyes. I see you, I hear you, I feel you, I taste. All of these things, I become the knower through these sense organs of whatever I'm objectifying. I even become the knower in reference to my mind, for things that are not objectified through my sense organs, but like my memories. I know my memories. I know my emotions. You know, I know my imaginations. I know my meditative states. So now that knowership is what is really the way I talk about me, the subject, in reference to anything that can be objectified. So now what's interesting here, even though the knowership is going to fall away in the end, still, in reference to this body, mind, sense organs, and within duality and with the subject-object relationship, I'm not going to be the knower. I'll be the known. I'm not going to be the known. I'm going to be the knower. The subject-object relationship, I'm not the object. I'm the subject, right? But in the whole teaching methodology, what happens is that through the drishta viveka, seer seeing differentiation, what we realize is that what we had taken to be the subject, just taken totally for granted to be the subject, functions as a subject, but it's also an object. For instance, my eyes, through my eyes, I see you. So I am the knower. Through the use of my eyes, I am the knower. I see you in terms of sight. I see you. Right? And so then I become the subject, you're the object. And so then I can say my eyes are located in my body. Here I am. I am different from you. I am the subject. You are the object. So it's just how we function. We don't divide the body up into little pieces. I am me, and I'm the subject. You're the object. But as we analyze the subject-object, what happens is what we have just always assumed to be me, the subject, we recognize is actually functions as a subject, but it's actually an object. It's not the ultimate subject. It's not ultimately me. Because the eyes, which are functioning as the subject in terms of I see you, actually become an object from the standpoint of my mind, because my mind is aware of the eyes and whether they're functioning or not. So the eyes then are demoted in a sense. They no longer get the status of being me. They become a cherished instrument, which I use. But I'm aware of the eyes as an instrument that I use, not as being me. See what I mean? So that's a shift in the subject. Now the subject me no longer includes the sense organs, let alone the body. You might as well do that too. This physical body, I realize that this that has always taken to be the subject, I've never thought about it actually, about being subject or object. It's just me. This is me. But upon analysis, my relationship with this body is given to me through my sense organs. Without my sense organs, I have no relationship with this body. I know this body as an object. I function in the world of this body as me. But actually, just think about it. This body is known to you. It's an object. So what functions as the subject is in reality also an object. It becomes also an instrument that I'm aware of. And so then I say, okay, my sense organs are me. They're the subject. But the problem there is they're cherished instruments because I'm aware of them and I utilize them and I'm often not utilizing them. Like, for instance, if your mind is just daydreaming, your sense organs are here, ready to be used. They're ready to be used, but they're not functioning. So this no longer can be seen as a subject. The subject has moved inward to my mind. But then I realize that my mind also is a kind of a cherished instrument, right? It thinks and it feels and it does so many things, but all of those things are known. They're objectified. And so they also become the object. So you see, when I start, we automatically are dividing the world into subject and object, but the subject starts here. And then everything outside of my skin is the object. But as I really analyze my experience, everything that I had taken to be the subject, I realize is also the object. It's also objectified. And so then, who am I? The subject, because you see, just in my experience, my relationship, as long as I'm talking from the standpoint of this upadi, this conditioning adjunct of my body, mind, sense organs, the subject-object relationship involves knower known. So as long as I'm the knower keeps moving more inward, 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 and the known, what used to be me, now becomes something that I'm aware of. And in fact, it's even a little bit more than just being aware of. I am aware of it. There's a subject-object relationship. And I'm aware of it changing, too. Or I'm not changing. I'm watching it change. Like, say if you're aware of your mind goes on changing and changing and changing. You're not changing. You're the witness of the change. You know, it's the same with your sense organs. You're aware of your sense organs, and you're aware of what they're doing and how they're functioning. The subject is not being affected by the object, and you have that experience. The most profound is just watching your mind. And as you objectify your mind, all of these changes are going on, which you are aware of, subject-object relationship, and you're not changing. You're the light that's shining upon it. You're not changing. Now, until we get to the mind and realize the mind itself is objectified, you know. This knower-known dichotomy works. I am the knower because I identify myself with consciousness, and this is the known. So I know. So when I'm identified with consciousness, it's Janami. I'm the one who knows. But now we recognize that every single part, every instrument is actually objectified. The sense organs, which form the function as instruments of being knowers, are objectified, right? The mind, which performs the function of being a thinker, a feeler, you know, one who remembers, all kinds of knowership type of functions take place in the mind. But the mind itself is objectified. Who's objectifying the mind? Because where's the knower? What knower is left? That's what I'm asking you. There's no one functioning. There's no part of the upadhi, the body, mind, sense organs, that has not been objectified. And yet everything has been objectified, and I am, right, untouched. I remain still as the subject, because all of these things are in my awareness, and now here I am, just the subject. And the question now is, am I this one who is left? Right? Because as you objectify everything, it's not that you disappear. It's just that everything about you has been objectified and the subject is still left. And so now, say if I take away, you know, the body and the sense organs in the mind, the sense organs that know things through, you know, seeing and hearing, the mind that thinks and feels things, I take all of these upadhis away. I take the body away because it's an object. It's not me. You know, I take the sense organs away. I take the mind away. I take the buddhi away because all of these things are objectified. I take the ahankara away, the I notion, and I'm still just left as the subject. Now, how is it that I know the mind? Am I this me, the subject that is remaining? Am I a knower? Through what am I knowing anything? I'm just conscious being. What makes conscious being a knower? It's conscious being, and it can be like the sun lighting up this whole situation, but is it directing? Is it directing its attention toward anything to call it a knower? See what I mean? Like my mind, it directs its attention toward this and toward that. My senses, so I can say, yes, it's a knower. I'm directing my attention here. I know this, I know that. But what about when I have no mind? I have no body. I have no sense organs. I just am me, conscious being. I've removed all of these things that we call upadhis, all of these instruments. Now I'm just being me. What am I doing? Literally, what am I doing and with what? I don't have any hands. The hands belong to the body. I don't have any hands to be building things or whatever. I don't have any legs. I don't have any voice. I have vak through the body, my sense organs. I don't have any sense organs. I don't have any thoughts. You know, it is just simply me. So what am I doing? What is my experience? Without without seeing myself, without seeing myself through these upadhis, through these conditioning adjuncts, what am I like? Just me, you know? And what also, now this is the thing, like, I've taken away every part of me that can be objectified when we do this drikdrishya. Everything that can be objectified. With a direct seer scene, we even go farther and we say, you objectify your mind. Yes, that's true. You objectify your ahankara, the I notion. I am doing this, I am doing that. That's just a thought. You objectify space itself. Because you're aware of space. You objectify time because you're aware of time. Right? You can objectify all of your relationships because you're aware of them. All of the different roles you play in life are objectified because you're aware of them, you know. Everything, your knowledge and your ignorance, things that you know and things you don't know, you objectify those. Anything that can be objectified, anything that exists within time and space is objectifiable. That's the nature of something. Otherwise, it's non-existence. If it can't be objectified, it's not there. You know, you need the proper instruments to objectify it, you know. But if it exists, it's objectifiable by nature. You know? You are not going to be, as the subject, as you, objectifiable. How can you be objectifiable? You can be, you are, as me. You are me, the me. You are who you are. But you don't, you're not objectifiable. Because if you are objectifiable, then who's objectifying you? If somebody, and what would you be objectifying? Think of it like that. We've already objectified every single part of you. Your entire body, inside and out, is objectifiable. All of your sense organs are objectifiable. Your mind and all of the different types of vrittis are objectifiable. Include the unconscious. We now have to know how to bring the unconscious into consciousness, but it's objectifiable. The ahankara, the I notion, is objectifiable. What about you is not objectifiable? If I've left something out, then just say it. They'll say, yeah, that's objectifiable. You know? The only thing that's not objectifiable is what is ultimately the pratyagatma, which is me. Otherwise, that I thought was me is objectifiable is not me. Because I'm the subject. You can't go. If I can go further. And then you get to the one who is not objectifiable. That is the subject. The problem here that we have is that we've had the subject, the line between subject and object has been my skin. And now all of a sudden we see, well, actually, everything about me that I had taken to be me is objectifiable and belongs to the creation. Just like in the dream. The body, mind, sense organs that you take to be you in the dream, actually, the whole thing is objectifiable and belongs to the dream. Everything about you, this body, mind, sense organs that you take to be you, is objectifiable and it belongs to Ishwara, actually. Then who are you? That's a good question. From the standpoint of your body, mind, sense organs, your body, mind, sense organs enjoy you because your body can say, I am a conscious being. Your mind says, I am a conscious being. Your sense organs say, I am a conscious being. Right? The ahankara says, I am a conscious being. That's all true. Because the subject that you are, right, which is not objectifiable, is there adhishtana. It's just like the clay pot. It is true that your body, mind, sense organs is you. In the sense that the conscious being, the subject, the body, mind, sense organs enjoy as you, conscious being. But all the body, mind, sense organs is objectifiable. You are not. You are sat chit, you are conscious being, but you're not objectifiable as an object in the world that I can differentiate. That being so, where is knowership for me? There is a big difference between self-evident being, self-evident me, and being a knower of something. To be a knower of something, I need to be within duality and have a subject-object relationship. I have to have an instrument, a pramana, a means of knowledge in order to objectify the object of knowledge. But when we do this analysis, we find that the object of knowledge and the knower of that are both objectifiable, right? And so I actually, the conscious being that I am, is the self of both of them and what's in between. So look at the dream. The dream character knows the dream object. And the, both the dream character with the dream pramanas, the dream sense organs, and the dream mind enjoy as its reality my being, as does the dream object enjoy my being. I am the self of both the subject and the object. From the standpoint of me, within the creation, I'll say, I am the subject and you're the object. But once I know myself, I can say, I am the subject of both the subject and the object. I am the self of both the subject and the object. Right? So what does this mean? I am not a knower. I am the conscious being, the me, which the knower and the known both enjoy. Right? This gets back to when we do this little piece of logic. Just notice as I do this, you just do it in your own mind. I'm starting with the wall so you can use this wall. Okay, this wall is known. Right? The wall is known. And then all of you are known for you and your people in front, and I'm known. So you are all known. There's no question. The rug is known. The ceiling is known. This is known. This body is known. Your own body is known. Your sense organs are known. Your thoughts are known. Your emotions are known, right? I mean, there shouldn't be a doubt. Are my emotions really known? They're known. Especially they are known. So they're known. Okay, they're known. The I thought is known. The whole thing, everything is known. I am known. I am known. It's not like I'm not here. I am the self of the knower. And I have the self of the known. This is known, this is known, this is known, this is known, this body is known, sense organs are known, thoughts are known, I am known. The whole universe exists in me as this completed state, not as a state that my nature is complete. It is sat, I am being, amness, which is self-evident consciousness. I don't need to know anything. Nobody knows anything. All of these instruments, everything is just simply known. But this knownness is directed through the holes in the pot. Just think of the first verse. There's this clay pot that has these many and varied holes in them. Those are the sense organs. And inside this clay pot of the body, right, there's a light, which is consciousness. There's a light that's streaming out through all of these holes. And streaming out through all of these holes, I see things outside of me. So here, when it says, you know, just think, look at this. Nana chidra gata udra stita maha deepa prabha bhasuram. There's this brilliant light, me, consciousness. That it's placed, you just imagine it placed in a pot which has many holes. Then, that being the case, that consciousness is the streaming out of those holes, appearing to go outside, which is how it appears, right? My eyes are open, and now I become a knower, my being, my consciousness is streaming out as though, you know, illumining all of these things out here. So all of you seem outside of me because I take myself, you know, to be this physical body and my knownness is pouring out through my sense organs. And then you all have become known and I become the knower because I'm just making a dichotomy there that experientially doesn't actually exist. There is no experience of a knower. There's an experience of everything being known. But since your identity, appropriately and properly so, is with you, the conscious being, then all of these known things, right, are not me. You are all known, right, as objects. And so how am I going to call what I'm going to say about me? I am the knower. As I'm the subject, I'm just in language, I am the knower, you are the known. And that's true. But then you have to look at, you are all known. Okay? We'll say, yeah, yeah, you are all known. Anything external, you are all known. That's the label you get. You are known. I haven't yet given myself, my body, mind, sense organs, that label. What if I did? What if I gave it that label? You are all known. This body is known. Like you are known, this body is known to the same sense organs. So you are all known, including my own body. You know, my sense organs, your sense organs are known and my sense organs are known. Your mind is known, my mind is known. Your hankaras are known, my hankaras are known. All of these things are known, and I am known. I mean, your hankara is known to you. Your mind is known to you. Your sense organs are known to you. But my your body is known to me, right, also. Do you understand what I mean? But what's objectifiable to me is also objectifiable to you. Clear? So if this, if I were to say all of this and objectify all of this, then all of these things are known. And then what's the question? Okay, all of these things are known because I'm the conscious being, but am I also known? All of these things are known. Am I as the knower known? Am I known or not? What if you were to say no? What would that mean? If you're no, then you're not here. You're not here, or you're not a conscious being, or you're not being illumined. Well, it's true, you're not being illumined as an object, but you are the very experience being known. That is who you are. You are that conscious being because of whom all things are known. That's the Anubhuti. You are the Bhantam, you are the shining conscious being because of which all things are known, right? You are the knownness, so you can say like this, you are the knownness which everything enjoys. So this, known, 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 known. There is nothing but that knownness. That's self-evidence with the consciousness. Self-evident, swaprakasha, self-shining, that's your nature. Your nature is self-evident knownness. You appear to have a subject-object relationship here through the instruments, through your sense organs. It's though I become aware of you. Janami. I become aware of you because of my sense organs, because of my mind. That's where the knowership comes in. In language, I am the one aware of you through my sense organs. And so as though it's as though the consciousness is spreading out through the sense organs to know you. But in fact, the whole creation is taking place in consciousness as its adhishtana. Every experience we have is known. Right? Every experience is known. That's the bhantam. Bhantam, tam bhantam. That which is shining as janami, as I know within the creation, actually is the very knownness which the entire creation enjoys. And so you are not a knower. You are conscious being because it, whose experience, okay, think of it like this. If you right now you have your eyes open, okay, so your eyes are open, and what happens when your eyes are open? Okay, you see this room, right? And so this room is known now. It's mithya. Mithya has no being apart from you. That's what we mean by mithya. It's totally dependent on your being for its being. So now I open my eyes and this mithya, maya, is known. It is and it is known. That's it. Is that the experience or not? It is, right? Your eyes are open. Now we have this room. This room is and is known. Okay? Now close your eyes. Now my eyes are closed and so I'm known. Now I'm not having the experience of the room, right? You open, close. Open, close. Nothing happens to the is known. It's just the mithya, the form, nama rupa, that is given to you, the name and form that is experienced, that is given to you through your eyes, is no longer there. So just try to do this in kind of a little meditative way, okay? Just a little meditative way. Your eyes are open, you know, and now just focus just on your own being. The recognition is focused on the is-knownness of these of this experience that you're having with your eyes open. Okay, now you close your eyes. Okay, the is-knownness has not changed at all. You open your eyes. All of this is known. You close your eyes. The is-knownness is exactly the same, but these forms are not there. So now imagine closing your eyes, not just closing your eyes, but having the whole universe go into unmanifest condition. And then the is-knownness is still there because that is myself. That is myself. And I'm not doing anything. I am just infinite. I am whole. Just look at your own. Just be with your own nature for a minute. You are known because that's your nature, not because there's a subject-object relationship. You're not doing anything, you're not knowing anything, but you are the essence of everything that is, and so you're absolutely complete. There's nothing about your nature that needs or wants to know anything. You are the very essence of everything. Knowing something is totally redundant to the wholeness of your being. What you do is just always bring your mind back to yourself. You're always there. You're always there. You're never disturbed. There's no disturbance for your being. You're also, from your own standpoint, you're not involved. You're not doing anything. You are the very essence of everything, but you yourself aren't doing anything. And anything that what might be done is totally redundant. You know why? Because it's mitya. It doesn't have any being apart from you. You are the wholeness of the whole creation. To understand, it's like when you have a dream. That dream is so real, so much activity and everything going on, and you're so involved in doing this and that. It can be a nightmare, it can be a happy dream, it can be anything. But it's all kinds of stuff is going on. And when you wake up from that dream, nothing has happened. Because even though so much has happened, the dream is mitya. It has no being at all. Just like the pot has no being. It has no being at all. You are the being which it has. Right? But you are satyam. For you, you're a different order of reality. So nothing touches you, nothing happens to you. You're the very self of the dream. So when the dream is there, it's completely real because you are completely real. But when the dream goes away, the one who is completely real remains. And so you don't have any feeling of anything having happened because what is mitya has absolutely no being apart from you. So what is going to happen then? You know, what's going to happen to the clay in reference to the pot because there's only clay there? Nothing happens, you know. And so that's your experience. It's nice when you're dreaming or having an imagination, especially when you're dreaming. When you wake up from the dream, just notice that. The truth of it. That absolutely nothing happens. And then you have to take that over to this waking state and realize, experience it. Nothing happens to me. And I don't want anything to happen. I don't need anything to happen. Because I'm the very essence of the whole creation. I don't need anything to happen. I'm the one who is complete from whom this whole creation manifests. I am the whole, you know? I am the whole, so there's no way to fill me up anymore. There's no way to make it any better. I can't make myself any better. I can't add anything to myself to improve myself. You know? And so that's why for the Jnani, once you, as you get to know yourself, there's nothing comparable. There's nothing to do to compare yourself to. Oh, it would be better if I could just sprinkle a little bit of this on me, or, you know, or I could have some of this, add some of this, add some. It's all totally meaningless because it's mitya. I am the one, you know, who is the essence of everything. So I don't need to know anything. And yet, with this body, mind, sense organs, I walk around knowing everything. And then from the standpoint of Ishwara, the whole infinite expression, the whole manifestation of infinite knowledge, you know, the infinite manifestation of knowledge, all of it is known because it is mitya and it is an expression of knownness. Right? The very knownness is knownness, self-evident consciousness, which is the very nature of Brahman, the nature of the self, the mitya enjoys. I have to talk a little bit. We'll get to it, I hope. More, a little bit more about sattva, rajas, and tamas as the nature of maya. That'll help you a little bit to understand this. Yeah. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.